Happy New Year. It's still January 2021, and this is the 26th day. Happy birthday, my brother John. Today is his birthday. Let's all wish him a happy birthday. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Happy birthday, brother John. Okay, thank you for tuning in to WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of the program is called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download an app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. You can also call in while we are live on the air, like from now until the top of the hour, 5 p.m., by calling 740-383-9944. Again, you can call in, be a part of the show by calling 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce will start again April through December 2021. And I will be updating you on the correct times. And it is at the same location. But I will be doing that weekly, okay? Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 28 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-262-0939. And I'd like to start my show with a thought for today. And it's titled, Let God. Whether you believe in God or not, it's not important. Belief can be an obstacle to experience. The main thing is to keep an open mind and be willing to start the conversation. The experience of so many people is that when they engage in a mental conversation, whether it's with a question or simply sharing what is in their heart, they get a reply. This is God as a personal experience, not just a voice in your head, not your higher self, but the presence of the source in your life. God is not a concept or a belief. You cannot have a conversation with a concept. You cannot have a meaningful relationship with a belief. Worth a try, dear God, but you can have a conversation. And believe it or not, he will answer. I'm not sure that I totally agree with everything that was written in this thought for today. Let God. And then you hear people say, but God, I was going down the wrong road. I may have been an addict. I may have been lost my home, lost my family, staying out on the street. But God, okay, but God, look around, turn around, look up, right? Look up. Because God is up and he does see all, he does know all, and he does hear all. He even hears our heartbeat. He even hears our thoughts and intents of our heart from afar off. But God, let God help you. Let God lead you. Let God deliver you and to set you free. And let your request be made known to God. So yes, you can talk to God, and let no one tell you anything different than that. You know, we may have grown up with the concept of God with our parents, you know, taking us to Sunday school or to Bible study or just to church on Sundays and listening to a pastor or reverend talking about God, reading scriptures and things like that. And you know, I always wondered about a child. Is it real? Has anyone really taken the time to explain God to me or to you? Did they take the time to establish a thought in your mind of who God is and what God does for you and has done for you? Or do we just go with the motions? We bring our children to church and they come in and they go out They may read Bible verses. But is that it? Because most young people, when they get a certain age, they leave the church. They don't come back. And what is that about? They've never really connected with God. And if they did, it was stolen from them, from the enemy, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, he takes things away from us, just like he did Adam and Eve. You know, he had Adam and Eve to question what God had told them not to do as far as in the Garden of Eden and what fruit to eat from what trees. And the devil stole that from them. Did God say? Which he still says. The concept of God. Who is God? Where did he come from? Is he self-existent? These are the type of conversations we need to have with our young people. We do not want a lost generation who have walked away from Christ or the concept of God and really and not knowing that there is a higher power, and they think that by what they see and what they witness in their lifetime and make themselves gods. Man is not God. Man is just a man. We all come here the same way through birth, through the seed of a man and a woman. Through birth, we all leave here the same way. Our death experience may be different, but we all come here to die. But in between, let him reveal himself to us. He says, when you seek for me with your whole heart, you will find me. Is it that important to us to seek for God with our whole heart? Has that become important in your life? What do you think about that? Or do we just go with the norm of the day? So, this happened and that happened, but what are we going to do? Forsake all. Oh, I feel lost. What's going to happen next? This year, 2021, this is only the 26th day, but as of the 6th day of 2021, hey, the things that happened and transpired in the United States was really unbelievable. And we were all shaken to our core to watch what was going on at our state house in the United States of America and how the enemy has lifted up his ugly head to destroy the framework, the Constitution of the United States of America, which states all men are created equal with certain inalienable rights. Okay? So, but God didn't let them get away with what they were doing. And maybe they wonder, well, why didn't we were in there. We were in there to do what we did. And what happened that we didn't finish? But God, let God. You know, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. You know, because if we continue to think that we can just do what we want, when we want, how we want, and who we want to do it to, we're up for a rude awakening. And people say, okay, well, judgments are coming on the earth right now because of the church has turned their back on God. And if that is true, judgment starts at the house of God. And the Bible says, where will the unjust fall? Where will they fall if judgment starts with us? And if we of the church or consider ourselves of the church or believers in Christ Jesus, if we scarcely make it, what do you think about those who don't believe? If we scarcely make it, where will you fall? How will you come in? But you know, it's a time for prayer. It's a time to watch, perceive, understand to the best of your ability and the best of your knowledge what's going on in the world today and pray. If you don't say anything but God help us, we need your help. That's enough. Pray for the stability of our country. Because, see, that's in danger right now. That is in danger right now. And who knows what we may have to go through. And already judgments are coming on the earth. We already have that coronavirus. And it's taking different mutations, getting stronger and stronger and looking different and different in different countries and coming in, back into the United States. What's going on? We have it the worst of all the countries in the world. The richest and most powerful nation in the world. Look at us today. Look at us. We need God's help because man can't help us. We can pray for our elected president. We can pray for him, that the Lord will lead him and guide him, empower him, give him wisdom to lead the country, wisdom to fight this virus. And now we can't even hardly get the medicine to take the shot with. Who knows what has happened to it, but I heard today that as of 2 o'clock, that has been straightened out, and the doses will be coming more rapidly and in much more abundance. But I just had to share those little things with you, because this says, whether you believe in God or not is not important. Belief can be an obstacle to experience. And that's true. Maybe you've never needed God in your life. Maybe you're just not sure, that sure, of if you need him, who he is, and what. Why do I need him? You know? But to me, if you intend on, not just me, but according to the word of God, if you do not believe, you cannot go to heaven. And I think that's the only thing that can keep you out, is unbelief. So let us be more diligent about reading our scriptures and watching and praying, inviting God into our hearts and into our lives and into our families, into our relationships. Because you know what? I found out, except you abide in him and he abides in you, without him, you can do nothing. We're weak. We're just human. We can't perform the supernatural. Not on our own. We're just human beings. We're just people. We are the creature. He is the creator. A lot of people may say, what do you mean creature? That's what the Bible says in Romans 1. That people had uplifted the creature high above the creator. And certain things fall upon the earth because of that. Not good things, but bad things. And maybe that's why we are here where we are today. It says God is not a concept or a belief. He's real. He is definitely real. That's how we came here. That's how the sun and the moon and the stars are visible. Clouds. Grass, trees, oceans, creator of all things, master of everything. And we do need to keep an open mind. And we do need to be willing to start the conversation. Lord, if you are real, show me, tell me. Have you ever heard a person say that? I said, God, if you are real, do this and do that. Show me that you are real. And if that's what it takes for you, do that. That's the beginning of a conversation that you might need to have with Christ. Okay, now as I wait on my next guest, Brian DeCamp, he is the executive director of Crawford County and Marion Counties Adam H. Board. He helps people on drugs and alcohol to find solutions, you know, to overcome their addictions. And he's been there since Jody DeMahagins left that position. And he may have been there maybe 3 or 4 years now, but he has really excelled in that position. And he started different new programs around in Marion, Ohio. And I think Marka was one of those. Children's Home also. So he's doing a great thing in our communities around here in Marion and also Crawford County. And he will be coming on to discuss with us 2020 in review. And I like to do this when the new year comes in, so we can look back on some of the things that transpired and hopefully that we can do better in the new year. Individually, corporately, however we need to do it, we need to take a look at what transpired. Okay, and how we can do better or benefit from the past and build a new hope, a new dream, a new reality, a new life, a new year, a new me, new concepts, new ideas. We need to think on those things that are lovely, that are pure, that are sure, that are true. You know, now we're at a point where people are saying, what's true? I don't know what's true. What is true today? We surely can't follow other people's advice or what they think is true. So I'm waiting on him to call in. He should be calling in at any moment. Remember, let God, but God, okay? But God, if God had not done the miraculous, who knows where we would be today. So let's watch and let's pray. Let's be vigilant, because our adversary is roaming, seeking whom he may devour. And we do not want to be devoured. I know I do not want to be devoured. All right. Okay. So right now we're just waiting on Brad DeCamp to call in. I'm excited to talk to Brad. He's always full of information and new things that he has up his sleeves, and a way to combat drug addiction and some of the things that really build on top of that because of the coronavirus, the civil unrest. All these things have caused people to be in a state of mind that I don't think any of us really thought would be possible. Hold on. Hello, Brad.
Hi, Linda.
Could you call? I gave you the wrong number, right?
Uh-oh. Which number did you even call?
383-9944. Mm-hmm. Don't forget 740.
Oh, yeah. I'll call you right back.
All right. I called him this morning because I wasn't sure what time he was supposed to be here today. So, felt like I got up on the wrong side of bed. You ever been there? Hello, Brad.
Hey, Linda. How are you?
Fine. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How's it going for you?
It's going. It's going. Switch over to my Bluetooth. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I'm sorry about this morning. I don't know what happened.
Well, you know, if you're like me, trying to figure out where you're going and when is a daily thing. So
it is. I thought I got up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm thinking, is this Monday? No, it's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it all worked out.
Right, right.
Good. So, how you been?
I've been well. I've been well. I had I was diagnosed with COVID back at the end of the year between Christmas and New Year's, and so I had to kind of struggle through that. So, that was an adjustment.
I bet. Did you have a mild case or?
Well, the thing with me, it really affected my blood pressure. And I've been on blood pressure medication for a long time, and I actually had to have my medication levels adjusted because it was just, it was really kind of running high, to be honest.
Wow.
So.
Isn't that strange how it targets your weak points?
It does, yeah. It's a weird thing. Now, I didn't lose my sense of smell or taste. That was not a thing. I didn't have a fever or anything else like that. Mm-hmm. But it sure jacked with my blood pressure.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're doing better.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Definitely.
Have you been well?
Praise God. Yes, I have.
Good.
Yeah. So I know I told you that I would like to do the year in review. And mm-hmm. believe it or not, it's been a year since COVID came
yeah.
on the scene, right?
Right, yeah, pretty much.
And to think that it followed us into 2021. Whoa.
We're still struggling with it.
Yes, we are still struggling.
Yeah.
And I know in your line of work, you are the executive director of Crawford and Marion Counties. And could you just give us a little bit about your position there and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So the ADMH stands for Alcohol, Drug Addiction, and Mental Health. And what we do is we serve as the planning authority for those two counties, for Crawford County and Marion County. when it comes to mental health and addiction services. So we develop our plan for how we think we can best accomplish prevention, treating, and helping people move into recovery for both addiction and mental health conditions. So we work closely with our community partners, with providers, to try to determine how we can best meet the needs and really provide a safety net of services for folks who need our help.
Right. Was that on the increase as of 2020?
You know, there's a lot of things that are concerning. I think what we know is that there's research that suggests that as many as 40% of people have indicated that they have seen increased things like anxiety and depression, and we know that people have used substances to either kind of cope with the stress. They've either started doing that or increased their use. And so yeah, there's a lot to be concerned with. And, you know, for a long time, we couldn't really do face-to-face services because people were, you know, concerned about that. And so we had to shift to doing a lot of our services either over the telephone or over video. And that was a pretty significant challenge and was just a different way of doing things that our system hasn't really had a lot of experience doing.
Of course, and we all fell into that category.
Yes.
You know, being closed off from everybody. I guess it's a wonder we all, any of us, have any sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been this, it's almost like a perpetual sense of Groundhog Day. You know, we kind of just, it's really kind of one of those things where it's sometimes difficult to, you know, just kind of, you know, when you have those things that you're not able to enjoy or kind of have, and it's, you know, like you said, it's really affected every part of our lives. It's definitely been challenging.
Yes, it is. Very challenging. Wow. So statistically, as far as, I know it started like January, February, March, as far as between Crawford County and Marion County, how have the statistics been between the two counties?
Well, one of the things that we've noted in Marion County especially is that we did see an increase in overdose deaths, and that's something that we have seen in really across the country. You know, people have been isolated and they've not been able to, you know, have interactions, and you know, we've had people who've been in long-term recovery, people who were, you know, struggling to find recovery, and you know, definitely we've seen an increase in overdose deaths in Marion County, a little bit less so in Crawford County, which is a good thing. But one of the things that we're monitoring very closely in Crawford County is suicides, especially in adults. So you know, those are two things that are problematic. And And having this pandemic and this kind of isolation that's been going on for an extended period is not helping those things.
No, and I guess, you know, when you think about suicide, you also think about hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Because it has kind of felt like that, and you really have to shake yourself up and think, well, we got to have hope. We can't lose our hope.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the other thing that we've noticed, and I don't have exact statistics on this, but I think one of the things that we're seeing is that we are starting to, I think, see people start to ask for help that we wouldn't have seen before. So whether it's an employment issue or something along those lines, people, you know, who typically have resources, whether, you know, financial or otherwise, to kind of deal with their stressors and their mental health. Now we're seeing that we're kind of people who are not known to our system. We're starting to see a little bit more of that. People who are asking for help that typically are not engaged in public services at all are starting to appear and present for assistance as well.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think it's better than the alternative. It's better to thinking, you know, well, I can just kind of, you know, muddle through this on my own without asking for help. I think you're absolutely right. I think the fact that they're asking for help is a good thing. But again, it's just something that I think is led to additional complexities, because, you know, now we have, in addition to those individuals who we kind of are used to seeing, we've got more demand, which, again, isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's just something we have to navigate.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to respect a person who realizes they need help and brave enough to ask for it.
I agree.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, because I would definitely want to be helped, you know.
Yes.
But like you said, yeah, anxiety. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. I was just going to say that, you know, so much of the time, it's that first step. It's, you know, whether it's, you know, you're talking about addiction recovery, you know, admitting you have a problem, or on the mental health side, kind of acknowledging that circumstances have gotten out of your ability to control them and needing to ask for help. I mean, that's such a critical step, and it really goes how that person, you know, feels like they're received once they ask for help is really, really critical too, because if they feel like they're not appreciated or valued, or that they don't feel like they're being heard, I mean, that's something that will discourage them from continuing to ask for help. So, but yes, I agree. That first step is it's no understatement to say that first step is the hardest.
It is. It is. But so necessary. My. And I hate to think about all the people who just checked out.
Yeah, and that happens. And so we just have to try to be ready to meet people where they are when they're ready.
Right. Yeah, you know, they also was hearing about some, I don't know if it was in our counties or that's near us, but a lot of young people, even under 12, were killing themselves, suicide. And it's just also sad, you know, where we've come to as far as God has brought us throughout the years and ages. Here we are in the, 21st century, and all these things are on the rise that we have tried to overcome over the years. And does it sometimes make you feel like we're not really making any progress?
It's challenging, I'll be honest. You know, we have difficult days, and I think that what you're touching on with the kids, and we look at school and what, you know, was taken away from that class of 2020 in terms of, you know, the spring sports, actually winter sports, because they were just finishing up, I think, some of the winter sports when things started to get locked down. But so, you know, those weren't able to maybe finish as completely as we would have liked, and spring sports were wiped out. You know, prom was gone, graduation ceremonies had to be modified. So these were some really big kind of rites of passage that a lot of kids did not get to experience the way that their siblings or other family members have. And you know, I want to think that we're going to be maybe not having to do that again this spring. I think time will tell in terms of how the numbers look, and, you know, maybe, you know, have some flexibility to do things differently. But there's just, and if we think about school and how it is now, as opposed to when I went to school or maybe when you went to school, it's just a different world. There's so much more stress on these kids now. And you take that and you amplify that under or in the face of a pandemic, not being able to see their friends, not being able to have these types of things that are natural courses or things that they would experience in the natural course of a student. It just made it really challenging. And it's, you know, it's been a lot of hard work. And, you know, you're right. I think it's been something that we definitely need to keep track of and try to make sure that we're there, especially for those kids, as best we can be.
That's true. I have a grandson that's going to be going into the 12th grade.
When
school starts up again after it's finished. And, you know, his morale was down also. But, you know, he did get him a little job and everything. But like you said, being around his friends, being able to play sports, you know, all those things have changed. And, well, I think now they're back in school, 2 days a week, something like that.
Yeah, most are doing hybrid, I think. So, yeah.
Right. So I know you're also involved in some other endeavors in mm-hmm. our city. I think the Children's Home was one of them, right? Or Mark?
Just on the very edge of that, okay. Yes, we are working to kind of make sure that there are some services with our justice partners and child welfare partners. So yes, we do have a small role with that.
Okay. And that's going okay?
Yeah, as best I can tell, I know that there's been some shifting, and I do speak to the family court people, you know, from time to time, and it appears that they're getting staffed up and things are moving in a good way.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned something to me about Marka. Are you involved in that too?
No, I'm not.
I didn't think so. They did. They said, well, is the building empty or what? I said, I don't know if he's involved in that or not. So, okay, I knew about that. Now, what do you think about, someone told me that, where I'm getting back to drugs now,
mm-hmm.
that people who sell drugs are addicted to that, as well as the person they're selling to is addicted to doing the drugs. Is that true?
I think it's possible. I don't know that I can say that that's always the case. I mean, I do think that you will, you know, find people who, you know, are manipulated in certain ways to, you know, if they're someone who's using and they see this as an opportunity for them to continue, you know, providing for themselves at the expense of someone else, then yeah, I do think, you know, that could be the case. And you know, I think a lot of times it's really challenging to separate that between who is someone who is maybe, you know, who has more of an addiction problem, let's say, and someone who is actually out there doing something to that's more criminal. In other words, that they're maybe not having the usage issue and their behavior is not being driven by the compulsion to use, as opposed to it is maybe more for a financial basis.
Right, right.
But yeah, those lines are hard to separate sometimes.
Right. Do you see, as I think it's two states up north, Oregon was one, I don't know if Washington was the other, where they have legalized hard drugs. Do you see that being the norm around the United States?
I think that there are some things that we need to evaluate. I think we need to look at some of the punishments that we have for certain drugs, mm-hmm. and I think quantities. I do think we need to look at our sentencing structure and make sure that those types of things that may have been more reasonable back, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, the world has changed. We have different substances now, and you know, I do think that that's something that I hope that as a society we can begin to look at a little bit more closely. So I don't know that I can see that we'll move to that anytime soon. But I think that I would say we definitely need to look at it from on the criminal justice side and from the sentencing side to make sure that, you know, what we know today with everything we've learned over the last 30 to 40 years still lines up with those structures that we have.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess so. Things are a whole lot different.
Yeah, a lot more deadly, and not that they weren't deadly back then, but, you know, if you think of the advent of fentanyl and how prevalent that is, not just in, you know, the opiate supply with heroin, but also with methamphetamine. You know, there are people who, you know, maybe quit using heroin because they were worried that it was more dangerous because it had fentanyl. And then it turns out that the people who, you know, manufacture the methamphetamine are also using fentanyl as well. So, that one's been the real killer, for lack of a better term, over the last couple years now.
Mm-hmm. Can't get rid of that fentanyl, huh?
You know, and this is, I'm just going by what I've been able to, you know, read on and learn on my own, but it's not very expensive to make, and it's so potent that you get a lot more, it's a lot more valuable, in terms of the quantities, because it's so strong, you can sell it in smaller amounts. And I do think there are people who probably have moved on to, I don't think there's many, but I think there are some people who do actively seek out fentanyl, unfortunately.
Yeah, because it's such a killer.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's, it's, again, I think a lot of people are trying to avoid it because they know it can kill, but then I think that there are others who may be thinking about, I think it goes with that line of thinking of, well, if it hurts this person, it's probably not going to hurt me because I know how to adjust what I use more, in a more smart way than they do, and, you know, I do think some of that comes into play.
So, Brad, what could we do as a community to be of service to the Adam H. Board?
Well, I think that there's a couple things that come to mind. We do have, we did receive a Drug-Free Communities grant, and so we want that group, the Drug-Free Marion group, to look as much like Marion, to have those groups that we have under that coalition to look like Marion. And so I would say that if anyone is interested in learning more about Drug-Free Marion, they can certainly call the Adam H. Board. We'll get you connected and make sure that you can get the information so that you can, you know, be part of that. We would love to have more people come and learn and be assets and learn what they can do as individual community members to help influence their friends, their family, their loved ones to, you know, work with the kids, work with the young people, and help build them up and do what they can so that they don't have, you know, or they're not as influenced, I would say, as by some of the pressures and temptations that come along. So I think that would be a big thing. And I think just having open conversation, Linda, you know, like you talked earlier about getting help. You know, I still think there's a lot of people who feel bad, like that's a weakness, and that I just, anything that you can do to help someone take that first step and ask for help, I think is big. And I think the other thing that comes to mind is, I think we have to figure out how can we have this dialogue in places of faith? How can we go into, let's say, for example, the Catholic Church, and maybe have a conversation with the Latinx population, you know, people who may have who may speak Spanish as their primary language. Mm-hmm. How are ways that we can go into the African American churches and begin to have these conversations? Because whether we want to admit it or not, faith is an important thing.
Yes.
It's part of recovery, and the church, I think, really, to varying degrees for most cultures, has such an important role in communities. And I think we can either kind of accept that and try to figure out how do we work together, or frankly, we miss an opportunity. So I really think both publicly and also in places of houses of faith, you know, how can we have those conversations and start to engage openly with each other about how we can work together and make sure that people know what services are available in our community.
That's good. That's real good, Brad. You're right. So right. And I'm a part of that organization. I'm faith-based.
So yes, absolutely.
I'll put it out there, you know. I will put it out there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great, and I do think that anything we can do to make people feel more comfortable and more safe about talking about these types of things that, you know, as we grew up, we didn't really talk about them. You know, we all had relatives who may have, you know, drank too much beer or wine or something like that. Or,
right.
You know, we didn't talk about the fact that maybe we had relatives that had nervous breakdowns and, right. You know, those types of things. But they're real.
Yes. Yes, they are. And seems to be more common now.
Yeah, I just think there's so much stress, yet we, like we talked about earlier, the pandemic, but then you think about all the other technology, and, you know, it's great on the one hand, but, you know, we get our news faster, we see more, we can get easily overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
There's tweets, I've heard about tweets and stuff like that, so you know, those types of things are out there, and we didn't have that, you know, as much a few decades ago.
No, and can't keep up with it. I can't. I can't even keep up with Facebook.
Yeah, well, I'm officially locked out of Facebook because I can't remember my password.
Oh,
so
no.
I don't know what I'm going to do. But anyway.
Well, thank you, Brad, so much for sharing with us your wisdom and all that you've gone through and how you're helping our communities. We really thank God for you being a part of our community and being that strong man that we need when it comes to drugs and mental health.
I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Linda. And if you, you know, want to talk about specific ideas about involvement or other things like that, I'd be happy to chat with you more.
Oh, yeah. We'll get back together for sure.
Okay.
All right. You have a blessed day.
Thanks, Linda.
And thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Brad DeCamp. He's doing a great job in our communities, Marion plus Crawford County communities. And oh, he came at the right time. He really did. Jody DeMahajas, it was a long haul for her. I cannot remember how many years that she was in the drug and alcohol position that he took from her because she stepped down. Excuse me. But he was right on time, and here we are in the thick of all these things that's going on with the pandemic, and suicide is up, and overdoses is up, mental health is up, and all these things. And we really need to come together as a community and find out how we need and can be a help to the process of getting things better and getting people help. And he said the number one thing was trying to help somebody else find, or some people don't even realize they have a problem. And I wonder, you know, you have a problem, and maybe we can figure this out or do something, you know, to find you some help. A lot of people they get offended. I'm not saying you're crazy or anything like that, but I see that you're struggling. And maybe if we could put our heads together and come up with something that life could be made easier for you. We can be that person to talk with someone else, you know. But you have to be so very careful how you approach a person when it comes down to that. Because you don't want to lose them. You don't want to come to them like you're on top of the world and you're greater than they are. And you see a flaw in them, you know, and you want to exploit it. No, 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 no. You must come to these people in love. Because you know what? We have that intuition, inner feeling within us as women. We know when something's wrong with our children. We know when something's wrong with our husband or our mate, when they're not acting the same way or the right way. And a lot of times when we come at them or ask them questions, they're on the defense. So let us pray. Like I was saying earlier, watch and pray and ask God, how should I address this person? Tell me how to approach them in love. All these things have to be done in love. In love. Christ so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And maybe we can help someone else find life. Life to live in this world and that which is to come, if you believe in that. But definitely life in this world. We don't want to lose any more people because the pressures are on. They are really, really on. And who can I turn to? Faith is an answer, like Brad DeCamp said. Faith is an answer. They use that. That was one of the seven steps. And alcoholism, faith, higher power, faith. So that is a big answer. Open conversation with someone you know is struggling. you can say, it's just a suggestion. I'm not trying to tell you what to do or how to do it. It's just a suggestion that maybe you should try this. I'll go with you if you need someone to go with. Or I know someone who will go with you, but I'm willing to go if you would allow me to go with you. And I'll just be quiet and let you talk. We need to help our loved ones. We need to help these young people that are in a state of helplessness. I can't even imagine that we would be going through something like this. But here we are, and it's reality. You know, it's like going through a reality show, but this is real. This is a reality. And let us human up, love up, and help our fellow man. You've been listening to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims. This is WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. My guest today was Brad DeCamp, Executive Director of Crawford and Marion County's Adam H. Board Drug and Alcohol. So, and mental health. So thank you so much. Till next time, be blessed. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow.
You've had so many interesting people on here. I'm always amazed at who you have.
Well, you have been such a pal, and I know you don't do much media anymore, but you're always so kind to me, and I want to take the... I always thank you when we're done, but I want to thank you on the air for 10 years of being so kind to me.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute of it, Scott. You know, I always say you're the best interviewer I ever had that I do an interview with. I really like to do them.
Well, may it continue. We're not going to stop at 10 years. We're going to go on
right.
into the next years. What do you make of his opponent?
Now you're trying to get me in trouble. You are. You're trying to get me in trouble. You're baiting me.
No. We can move around that question. We can move around that. You have always been that nice to me, and boy, I'll never be able to repay it. It's just been wonderful.
Well, I tell you, you've been nice to